Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank you for interested in the Grupo Nutresa and your connection to the conference of results for the third quarter 2015. According to NIWF, at the table we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of the Nutresa Group, Jose Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Diego Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Alejandro Jimenez, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation that the President and the Vice President of Corporate Finance will make about the results for the past quarter, we'll start the question and answers session. The answers we get through the webcast will be read as they come, literally. This conference will last at the most 60 minutes or earlier if you do not have any more questions. If there were more questions after the 60 minutes, we invite you to send them into our email or our phones. I leave with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of the Nutresa Group. Good morning. A special welcome to our conference, the presentation of results at the end of the third quarter of 2015. Before we go to the numbers, I'd like you to go to slide number 2 to share with you 4 events that we had during this quarter. First of all, we'd like to share you that for the 5th year in a row, the Nutresa Group is part of the Dow Jones Sustainability Indices. We are right now number 1 in the world in the food sector, and 7 of the aspects have been rated in the index, 2 in the economic dimension, 2 in the environmental, and 3 in the social. We were the first one in the codes of conduct and risk and the environmental decision. We had the hydric material resources and packing material and social in social human rights and corporate practices. And the third quarter, the Nutresa Group in Colombia advanced in their ranking measured by the Merco corporate reputation, and we were the number 2 in Colombia after Bancolombia, which was number 1 the previous year. We were in the 4th place. We are the best placed company in Colombia and number 2 in the... I'm going to the next slide. The second good news is that we received 4 awards in Colombia 2015. These are recognitions that are given through the leadership of the organization and the consistency of the disclosure of public information about investor relations and sustainable development in corporate governance. We were awarded as the leaders in sustainability and the chairman of the board of directors, a member of the board in the issue of sustainability, and we got the Alas Colombia, the best company in Colombia, and the largest company in Latin America because of our presence in Chile, in Peru and Colombia. This is due to the sustainability of the Nutresa Group. And lastly, the last recognition we are very happy about is that we won the National Innovation Award in Chile with the NUVIT in the category of public innovation, thanks to the program that we have for preventing and controlling overweight or excess weight in obesity in a space that we have called this healthy space in public schools. This is something that is part of our program for healthy life and nutrition. After these 4 awards, let's go to the figures, and I'll ask you to look at slide number 4, where I'd like to start by reporting about the accumulated sales at the end of the third quarter. In general, we have a very sound growth, and we maintain a dynamics that combines our volume growth and some price increases, as we had advised in the previous conference. Sales in Colombia reached 3,552.6%, 16.6% growth, Organic sales in Colombia were $3,308,000,000, with an increase of 8.6%. That 8.6% for the first three quarters is derived from a very good growth, and 1.7%, 3.7% in volume, and 4.3% in prices. We have growth in biscuits and chocolates that are growing at a double-digit rate. And if we go to international sales, I'd like to tell you that looking at that figure in dollars, which is grew at 5%, we have to keep in mind the valuations of several Latin American currencies vis-a-vis the dollar. In prices, this is $2,132,000,000,000, with a growth of 29.4%. International sales without Venezuela grew at 1.1% in dollars. There's a very good growth. Consumer foods also had a very important growth. With respect to international sales, or some adjustment that is not here, we exported to Colombia, to the U.S. During the same period, grew 11%, which is 61.6% of the exports by the group. When we combine the sales in the country with the international sales, we can see that in this slide, number five, total sales of 5,684,000,000, with a 21.1% growth, with an organic growth of 15.9%. This is a very an outstanding behavior, excellent performance. We have had businesses growing over 20%, such as Intermonte Lucchetti, and we had others that growing at between 10 and 20, which is chocolates and coffee, and the others are very good too. We have a very good behavior. Those that have the highest international presence have enjoyed the favorable rate of exchange. The innovation sales in the accumulated at the end of the third quarter are 17% of total sales. It's a very important factor in growth for the group. So this is an accumulated, which is very positive at the end of the third quarter, according to the strategy we've been following. If we look in slide number six, we'll see how just the quarter, the third quarter, was also, in commercial terms, a very outstanding growth. Sales in Colombia were $1,282,000,000, with a growth of 18.7%. Organic sales were 1,177,000,000, with a growth of 9.7%, and 4.2% in volume, and 4.5% by price. It's pretty much balanced when you look at each business. Well, 14.1, chocolates grew at 10.1. When you look at where those come from, we have growth by volume some, but the price increases were higher. This is a business where the impact of raw materials and rate of exchange has been felt the strongest. The price increases doesn't completely compensate that increase in prices and raw materials, but it is enough to have a adequate profitability. With respect to coffee, we have a 5.6 growth, a slight increase in prices. You have that in the sales mix. We have a 2.3, and there's also a decrease in volume due to the price increases that we had to do to improve profitability. We passed out 2.3, and consumer foods have a very adequate growth. Group Nutesa have been doing strategic pricing activities, doing increases which are very much focused on specific references and channels, so that the volumes do not go down significantly. This has enabled us to maintain that balance and not stop growing our volumes as a whole, as a group. In internationals, also, I was, the valuation of some currencies, that's why we have this growth, the decrease of 3.2% in dollars, but in pesos, we got to 834,000 million in sales with a growth of 49.2%. Significantly, we have the contribution of international sales to the group. Combining sales in Colombia with international Colombian sales too, slide number seven, we see that the growth is 2,116,000 million with a growth of 29.1%, a significant growth. The organic growth was 22.7%, and we grew in every business. There was an outstanding growth. All business units had a positive performance, and as we have significant increases in operations outside of Colombia, which enjoyed that positive effect of rates of exchange on sales. You can see the geographic distribution of the sales. Colombia represents 62.5% of the group's sales as of the last close, and international sales reached 37.5%. Colombia is still the number one geography, the second for Nutresa is Central America. We have 9% of the sales there. The third one is the U.S., where we have 8.1%, and Chile at number four, where we have 7.4%. In general, we're growing in all geographies, and we have a very satisfactory performance. That business performance, as we said earlier, is the result of innovation and development of channels, a well-managed marketing. In slide number nine, we are pleased to share with you what are the market shares that we have. The first, we have the challenge. According to the previous conference, we had showed that the weighted share was 70.9%. Now we have 71%. It's 0.5% in the same quarter the previous year. In cold cuts, we have 73.4%. We have confectionery 55.7%, with a growth of 0.5%. Chocolates were stable. A good participation in chocolate snacks. Indicators of 0.5% and 0.1%. In nuts, we have a very dynamic structure category. Coffee, we have 54.4%. The soluble was stable, very close to a liter. In Tresmontes, we have slight decreases in instant drinks, pasta, and coffee. In coffee in Western Chile, and we grew in instant drinks in Mexico. We try to get more profitability. We think we're going on the right path. In pastas, we're growing 0.2% with 52.2%. The results of our market shares is what we expected, which was to manage the prices, to have some profitabilities within the ranges that we wanted, and grow the volume. In improving our prices without losing market share and volume. This is very important for the future. This brand strength allows us to make those market decisions and defend your market shares, always within the framework of free competition. With respect to cost, slide number 10, we see on the left side, we have the Nutresa Group Commodities Index, which is in dollars. Although the commodities index is favorable, we have to remember that when we convert that to the various local currencies, the performance, because in some of the raw materials, becomes unfavorable. The thing is that the diversification of our commodities basket has an inherent risk with these variations, because we have not felt all the effects in at the same time. And as the right-hand graph shows, none of the components of the cost is more than 12.6% of the total. In this case, is packing material is the one with the highest weight. In coffee and pork, in the specific business, some of the components have different weights. So there's a relatively stable trend, although it, in dollars it looks favorable, you know, vis-a-vis local currencies. After that, I'm going to give the floor to José Domingo Penagos, who is going to share with you some information about profitability. Good morning to all of you. To analyze the profitability, then I'd like you to look at slide number 11. This slide will show the accumulated EBITDA for the entire group and for each business. And we can see here how the margin at September has 12.8% with a group of 12.9 compared to the previous year. We'd like to say that this behavior is outstanding due to the effect of the price management for the various categories. We began the year with a significant pressure on cost because of the impact of rate of exchange on the raw materials that were paid in dollars. And as the year went by, we've been reacting very specifically in some categories with more emphasis than others, and we've been able to have a margin which is in the middle of the range. This margin includes some special projects that we are carrying out in the U.S. and Mexico and in Chile. The profitability of 12.8% would be 13.1% in the middle of the range if we do not take into consideration those projects at the end of this quarter. This is for the entire group. If we look at each business, we can see how the cold cuts maintains its profit level close to the average, 4.6%. The biscuits also has a very close to the medium range, but it would be 13.1 if we didn't have the project in the United States, and we have a very outstanding growth. In chocolates, we have the effect of the increase in cocoa, significant increase in this quarter. It added to the increase in the rate of exchange, and that has affected the entire business of the year. But we've been managing our prices, and increasingly we've been able to increase the margin. We have had some 6.7% decrease in compared to the previous year. The coffee has a margin of 19.3%, double-digit growth. It's very consistent throughout the year. It captures the dollars that come from the exports. It's very good profitability for coffee. Tecnontes Lucchetti, we have a 10.9% margin. As I said earlier in the introduction, we have some projects in Mexico and Chile. They have significant impact on the EBITDA margin, would be 12.9%. Compared to this one, and we have a very good accumulated growth, double digits, almost 16%. In ice creams, we have been facing the changes in the weather, the rainy, which have been significant, although managing some innovation issues, also compared to the size of the business. And we have to find, you know, the break-even points, and we have a decrease of 17% compared to the previous year, but the margin remains within the range We had a growth of 23% in pasta. And retail foods, very consistent. The business is very good. Good performance, transactions, and average growth. Margin is 17.7%. So in general, we have good margins and very good growth for the semester and for the quarter specifically, which is analyzed in slide number two. We have the effect of the prices, price management. We have a significant growth, which is 271,000 million pesos with a growth of 30.2%. So it maintains the position around 12.8%. We have very good profit levels, considering that those challenges that we have been mentioning. We have mentioned a growth of 30.2% compared to the previous year. And we have also the effect of El Corral. We want to share the metrics without considering El Corral, which is a growth of more than 20%. But the EBITDA could be more than 20% for the organic growth, or organic EBITDA. We have some figure for some of the businesses. Cold cuts in general maintains its margins. The same growth as the previous year. It's very significant because biscuits grows 25%, coffee, and 35%. These are very significant growths for the quarter, but in general, very sound behaviors. Chocolates and ice cream. The growth is slower because of what we showed in the accumulated figures, but we can also share with you the effects of these projects. This margin of 12.8 for everything would be 13.1 in biscuits would be 13.2%, and in responsibility would be from 10.4 to 10.9. So in general, we are within the range, practically the same percentage as the accumulated for September, but with a very significant growth. So let's go to accumulated income statements for September 2015. This is the behavior of the all the operation sections, which we saw in details with sales and EBITDA, is summarized in the consolidated. We had a decrease of 90 basic points in the gross margin. This decrease is maintained in operating profits, where we went from 11.1 to 10.3%. And here we must include an analysis that includes the Corral and the organic businesses. So the increase in operating increase is 21% without including El Corral is 90%. Administration expenses were 7.7 and sales expenses are 24.9 are 14.7. So this, we're growing 15.9% in operating income and 14.7 in sales expenses. Lower rate of increase in sales expenses is less than the organic growth of revenue, which is very positive. And in operating statements, we have those bigger percentages in change. And the financial statements we have also derived from the debt that we had for buying El Corral, which go from 122,000 to 172,000 million pesos, and the portfolio dividends, which investments in Grupo Sudar, Grupo Argos, which is 17,000 million pesos. But the effect that they have, due to the differences in operating and non-operating effects, have positive results both in the operating section, in the operating expenses or non-operating expenses of almost 16,000 million pesos. All this leads to a grow about 5.7% but for minority interest. After charging the taxes, what we have an increase of credit this year, which is, have been significant. This gives practically the same net profit that we had last year. So even assuming the cost from financing the acquisition of El Corral, we were able to maintain the same profits by the end of this quarter. The statement of results for the quarter has behaved, which is much in line with what I just mentioned earlier. The operating profits have a growth of 26.6%, very much aligned with what is happening with the gross profits. This is to the increases in management and sales of the expenses. And as part of the acquisition of El Corral, we had an increase in 22% of net profits, 27%. So we have some financial figures compared to previous year. Net profits is the result of the price management and have a very outstanding performance in net profits. Finally, in slide number 15, we have the consolidated net debt. As you can see in the graph, in June 2015, we had 3.29 and it went up to 3.08. Compared to this year, the indicator goes down. This does not consider the calculation of El Corral, which is only 2 months, because we did the pro forma compared with the 12-month Corral EBITDA was 12.99 times. So we were around what we agreed to, what we had committed to, and we're going to continue with this indicator till the end of the year, probably around 3 times when we take into consideration all these magnitudes, both in the EBITDA that we're showing and the indicator that we show here, and as well as the pro forma. The rate of interest is 6.7%. It's close to 10 basic points compared to what we showed the previous quarter. We see that the structure of the debt and the way that the composition of the rates, especially we have rates in Colombia, we have a very little debt in dollars. Although we have some higher increases, we were able to maintain our same levels of debt. This is respect to the debt. And finally, the CapEx, accumulated CapEx for the first quarter is in 273,000 million pesos, 368,000 million. CapEx, this CapEx is mainly investment in distribution centers. The construction has been concentrated over the at the end of the year, and 273 is below what we had projected. We are going to be pretty close to budget. We're going to complete the work, and we will complete the end of the year with the CapEx we had projected. This is the end of the analysis of profitability, and I'll give the floor to somebody who's going to tell us about the future. Now, with the report about the financial and commercial performance, our outlook for the end of the year is going to be very good performance in commercial terms. The profitability, we continue to have the challenges of the effects of the weather and the changes in the rate of exchange. What we are doing and the reactions of each market, what we can expect is to have a very year with very good sales and with profit levels which are within the expected range that we had established for our great goal of 2020. We expect to have a very good year. I'll give you the floor to Alejandro to go to the Q&A. Thank you very much. The questions may be received through the conference call. They will give you the indications of how to ask your questions through the system, or if you are connected through the webcast. Your questions will be read also verbatim. Go ahead, please. If you need to ask a question, please push star and number one. Star one in your phone if you would like to ask a question. We have a question from Mr. Andres Soto. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio, for the big presentation. Thank you for the results. Congratulations. Question has to do with the leverage indicator. These results, obviously, I don't know if you expected, but they are stronger than what the market was expecting, and I think that the company is getting leveraged faster than was foreseen. What are your priorities in Grupo Nutresa for the 2016 in terms of continuing with the inorganic expansion, distribute shares, or do reconversion of shares? Thank you for your questions. Although we do have a net debt EBITDA, which is good. I think it's a little premature to talk about what you are saying. We'd like to consolidate decrease that debt. We have that through better management of working capital, better management of profitability using the prices. We have several recent acquisitions, Desmonte Luquete and El Corral. We believe that three times is a healthy level. We are down from that level of three, but it's premature to think that we have other plans for the future. We're trying to keep and lower that that level. And in terms of increasing your dividends or changing the compensation, do you think that is also under consideration? That sort of decisions are made by the board before the assembly, but we've maintained that the price of the shares are lower than in the last year. We have maintained a pretty healthy dividend share distribution level. It leaves us money to invest in the business, in the corporation. And we haven't changed, we haven't thought about any changes. We have about 50%, but it is not, it's usually, in general terms, what we do is share about 50% of the dividends. Thank you very much. We have a question for the webcast, and I read Juan Sebastian from Banco Corbanca, Colombia. The question is, what additional factors to the weather would explain the decrease in the ice cream business? What innovations are you going to use to expand this line of business? First, thank you for your question. The explanation we said is that there are two main factors that affected in that. One is the weather, and it was not all bad all year. In some specific seasons that usually have high sales, and secondly, that some of the innovations have different results from what we expected. The companies that are active in innovation know that you make your bets, and not all of them come out as you want. You have to maintain a pipeline of innovation because you have several projects online. In the ice cream business, there's a combination also of strengthening our presence of our different markets, and we started commercializing ice cream in our Nova Venta company, which is the alternative sales company. What we're doing is innovation. This is not new. The theory of innovation, try to reinforce our presence not only in traditional channels but also through alternative channels, and also to work to provide new options to the young, the children, all the consumers of ice creams in Colombia. It's something that might happen, but it is a business that what has affected our margin is that you don't usually have the volumes, and some of the raw materials have also had the effects that we've had. In the case of IFM, especially the price of sugar and the chocolate that is used by ice cream as an ingredient. Any questions to the conference? We have a question from Mr. Sergio Matsumoto. Good morning. Thank you for your conference. With the business, ice cream business, you have said you had to have a high point, break-even point. Was the price increase something significant to decrease the break-even point, or was that something that was a chance that we had due to the demand, or something that with the new channels you improved the mix? With the products that had higher prices, and how did the consumers receive those new level price levels? Sergio, the price strategy in the ice cream category was not only due to that break-even point. It was more a strategic decision, trying to protect the profitability from the impact when you have, when you follow the performance of the category as a whole. And it didn't happen to all the channels or to all the references. It all happened in some of those references, in some channels, and in some geographies. And that also reflects the change in the mix, because they have different behaviors in each reference. The mix is very dynamic. In general, the prices were well-defined, well-received. There is competition. It's a matter of supply and demand in the market. As usual, every time you touch a price, you touch the elasticity, the price elasticity. But I think that the measures were prudent, and they produced, not only in the short but also in the longer term, the results that we wanted. It's not only aimed at touching that break-even point. It's a necessary measure, but the results we've had and the price and the volume decreases have not been greater than we had estimated. Last week, CCU in Chile announced a joint venture with Carrebi for instant powder drinks. I'd like to know whether there might be some more competition in that category, because they might expand their distribution for their products. Thank you, Sergio. Grupo Nutresa is a group that competes with major multinationals in all the regions where we operate. That competition is always done in a market where there's free competition. We are used to having major competitors. We respect that announcement. We try to measure the effects. It is not the only categories we compete with in Chile, not the only one that we are going to compete there. And we know how to manage our marketing variables to keep our outstanding position. We saw something that might have happened. We would take that into consideration within all the free competition. We'll take all the measures that we need to protect and improve our presence. But that type of action was viable. It could happen also. It is not something new. That had been announced many months ago, and pending approval by the economic authorities in Chile. So it was a move that it had been announced for some time. Thank you. I will read two questions and have to do with international expansion. The first was from Goldman Sachs. I will read it in English. That is the question from Goldman Sachs, and an individual investor is, where do you intend to continue expanding due to the decrease in your leverage level? What would you expand in, cold cuts, chocolates, or what? I'll try to answer both questions. First, Thermotelecretti, as we mentioned in several conferences, it's a very significant acquisition for the Grupo Nutresa because it opens the door to regions where we hadn't been before, the South Cone, because we also strengthen our distribution network in Mexico. In general, we have a year with moderate growth in Chile, but positive, very similar to what the country has had. We have a significant presence in several categories in Mexico. We usually don't have category by category. All I tell you is that as a country, we're growing very positively. We see chocolate and pastas. We have a very new plant in cold cuts in Guadalajara in the instant drinks category. It has had a different behavior, more effective, but as I said earlier, in this light on market share, you saw that category, you saw the share. Mexico is a significant geography where we have some categories, but it is a region with great potential. So you look at the map where we show you the presence of the group, you'll see that it is not one of the four geographies, but as a country, it has a potential to be one of them. So it's a general outlook for Tres Montes. So with respect to the expansion that we've declared, that the strategic reasons for the Nutresa group includes Chile, Peru, Colombia, Mexico, and south of the U.S. Those are the geographies where we are most interested in initially. Colombia, obviously, is number one. There are some limitations because of we have competition in some segments, but we can grow organically in a significant manner. But as Jose Domingo said earlier, we are not going to go out immediately and start this inorganic growth processes. We're going to very, very carefully consolidating our two latest acquisitions. And as we see opportunities for inorganic growth, we will analyze them with caution. But this is a time more for consolidation of the business, where we've had significant growth and where we need innovation, marketing, and channel development. We still have a lot to do. Any further questions in the conference? We have a question from Catalina Ricarte. Go ahead. Good morning. Thank you for your conference. A question about international sales. Explain that decrease in dollar 3.3%. Could you give us a little bit of information? How do you see those growth in local currencies, especially in Chile, Mexico, and the U.S.? Thank you very much. Thank you for your question, Catalina. With respect to international sales, I go to the accumulated. We have a decrease in 5% in dollars, and this is basically because of the impact of cross devaluations we have with Mexico and with Chile mainly. But we could say that we see important growth in the various blocks that make up all our international sales. Central America, is very sound in terms of growth. We don't have the effect of closed evaluations there. There was very little effect shown in the results, and we have significant growth. So that's Central America has had an important position in total sales of and international sales. We in Chile, we keep growth which are very much aligned with the economy in local terms, in local pesos, and in Mexico also grows because of the initiatives that we have for the pasta business, instant drinks, and chocolate also have growth there. The instant drinks in Mexico has had significant growth in since last year, and that's where we are. In general terms, in local currencies, we have healthy growth. The effect is more due to the cross devaluations that we have in Mexican pesos to convert into dollar, which reverse again against the Colombian peso. That's where you can see in the accumulated for the third quarter, we have a growth of 29%, and in the we have a growth of 50% in first semester. The entire message, we have a healthy growth in local currencies. It's more rate of exchange and devaluation effects. Thank you very much. I'm going to read three questions. We're going to answer them one by one. Andre Felipe Camacho Mendoza, independent. We see a slight decrease in the performance of the chocolate business. The price increase could have affected the sales volume. What have you done for the short term to counteract these effects? Thank you. I will answer the question. You showed in the graph that that chocolate segment is one of the ones that has had most challenges in terms of profitability. We see cocoa is at above $3,300 per ton, which increased more than 50% in the past year and a half. And what we've done in Grupo Nutresa is we've done price increases, but as I said, we have not transferred those cost increases to the consumer to avoid affecting too much the volume. When you speak of the chocolate business in Grupo Nutresa, you also have some subcategories that table chocolates, other milk modifiers, other chocolate bars, snacks, and the other one is all the nuts categories. What we're doing is to handle or manage a detailed strategy for each subcategory. So that, in effect, is very much concentrated on table chocolate as a drink, but the chocolate bars and nuts have high outstanding growth. So the answer is we continue to monitor. It's very unlikely that excess price in raw materials would be much higher. We think that we are at the peak, and what we expect in the future is more favorable behavior of the commodities, not only for the cocoa, and that we can use a subcategory strategy so that some of those grow and make up the possible decreases, especially in chocolate drinks. That is the answer. The question from Juan Sebastián Salcedo Rueda from Banco Corbanca, Colombia. I read, for 2016, what measures are you going to take for hedging against dollars and raw materials? Are you continuing the traditional policies of Grupo Nutresa? What is the outlook for the behavior of cocoa? Thank you, Juan Sebastián, I'll answer your question. Grupo Nutresa has a strategy for global hedge considering the natural hedges due to its coverage in markets. We have some expenses expressed in dollars, but we also have revenue in dollars, so we don't do specific hedges, which you might have the opposite effects. From the dollar point of view, we have a cash flow methodology, which is thinking about maximum volatility that we were going to allow and find out what is the size of hedge that we should use. As far as using the commodities and raw materials, we have a combination of physical inventories which we purchase at when the price is low. We have a strategy for futures and future hedging, and we have a committee which is dedicated only to that, that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are very orthodox in that respect. We believe that the hedge is a tool to decrease the risk. We are very careful because we know that if that would not show, we could have negative effects. So we have coverage that reduces volatility. That is one of the identified risks in Grupo Nutresa. And if you look at the last yearly report, we stated as one of the three major challenges. And that's where we managed to responsibly and orthodox manner and reduce any. We don't think that we're going to depart from that strategy. Cocoa, you know that cocoa, 65% of the cocoa is produced in Africa, in two countries, Ivory Coast and Ghana, although Latin America has been growing. Colombia has a very special plans for increasing 160,000 hectares of cocoa in the next few years. We have most of our segment is in Colombia. We have very good relations with the sector. And what we're doing is working a lot from the technological package, closeness to the growers to develop the supply chain. Right now, it's a very high point today, but there are going to be alternative sources other than Africa that allows us to control that volatility. We try to be the best allies of the growers, so that they can prefer us when we buy from them, and to manage that variable very carefully. It is on a high point, and in the future, it should be stabilizing at lower levels and continue with this last round of questions. Mr. Gonzalez, Mr. from Bindicol. Question is, in the coal costs, do you see any decrease in volume due to the announcements made by the WHO? Thank you much for your question. About the WHO, there were two reports. One was a press release and then a clarifying release. I'd like to say that the response has been very prudent because the study, complete study, has not been published, so we cannot go and question a study that you don't know anything about. Vis-a-vis the cold cuts, there's been a lot of studies from the WHO in the past. There have been studies that pointed as a significant source of iron, others, significant source of proteins, but other studies have, which were the ones that were mentioned in this communique. And you said that the excess consumption might increase the risk of diseases like colon cancer. We have been waiting for the study to be given to us. We think that it also mentions to things that we have mentioned, well, that we have to do with healthy living and balanced nutrition. All of this, we've been the European Union and the U.S. will issue their standards about the reasonable consumption limits, which will apply to the countries where we apply. From the technology point of view, we have production indicators and we have innovation lines that allow us to supply very significant alternatives for the consumers. And in the short term, the very short term that we've had, what we've seen is that in the traditional channels, the effect has been very small. And in the modern channels, segments, there'd be more reaction, but these are not significant reactions from the point of view of sales. We believe that that is going to be stabilizing, and like it happens with all the changes around the world, I think this will lead people to have a more balanced diet. We know that this is, Grupo Lotres wants to be the best ally of the consumers who want to have a healthy lifestyle, and we will have alternatives, and that also gives us some opportunities to certify ourselves from the technology point of view, certify this category, and we're very well prepared to face these challenges always responsibly. Any other questions from through the conference for the last 4 minutes that we have? Thank you. We have a question from Mr. Edgar Romero. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. Congratulations on your results. Most of the questions have been answered. I just want to ask a little bit about tax reforms, because in Colombia it is very sure that we're going to have some tax reform for 2016. How do you see Colombia in terms of taxes on foods with high sugar contents compared to other countries like Chile, Mexico, and others where you're already present? Thank you, Edward. I'd be glad to answer. Colombia, as a country, has a percentage of the GIP is low, but when you look at the details, you see that there are very few companies and very few people pay their taxes. So in the conversations we've had with the government, we have been told that the structural tax reform project is going to be mainly expanding the tax base. Those who do not pay and should pay will be included in the taxpayers group. Secondly, and making some increases in the VAT, and third, in decreasing taxes for businesses. I think that it's necessary to have these reforms. We have tax rates which are higher than most of the countries where we act, and we talk to the government, and they are aware of that, and they're working on it. About the question on tax on drinks and foods, there are no specific projects that we mentioned. These are measures that the countries have approached differently, some making more, placing more emphasis on labeling, others with taxes like Mexico. So I think that it would be unwise to just say anything about we having any document on the table. We believe that the issue of promoting healthy living and having specific actions vis-a-vis the community has more impact on the health than taxes. But we respect the measures, and we're prepared to act. In Colombia, the latest news have been related to carbon drinks with sugar contents, but I cannot say anything without having any additional details, without knowing any specific projects about it. Thank you, Edward. Any more questions to conclude? One last question from Mr. Carlos Rodriguez. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. Very short question about the EBITDA. Could you give us some guidelines? The hedges that you've done in dollars and in commodities have helped you with the EBITDA. For me, that was higher than we expected. So from here in the future, and with this dollar at the rate of 3,000, which I don't think is going to go down any significant in the next two quarters, do you think that you will be able to maintain that around 14% EBITDA? Yes, I think that with respect to that issue, we've been very, very prudent with not to give a guidance beyond the that EBITDA range. As I said, we think that we're going to finish the year within that range, but the most responsible thing is to get that far and make sure that next year we're going to be watching all year to be as high as possible, but we're not going to say in what range of this band. We're going to maintain the 14 as close to 14 as possible. I think this will be end of the conference. If we have any other conferences if for this conference, although we have a very short air time, but we are attentive to your questions via telephone or email in the afternoon, you will be getting in your emails the audit for the conference. Thank you very much and have a nice day.